Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Please join us now for this life-changing message.
If you have your Bibles today, let's turn to the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings. And you want to avoid the cannibal chapter, 2 Kings 8:1. That's terrible. That was the only joke that I rehearsed in the mirror this morning. That was my opening joke. 2 Kings chapter 13. We're going to have a look at verse 20. I love this passage. This passage is a blessing to me, and I pray it's a blessing to you this morning. Let's have a look together. It says, "Then Elisha died, and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. When the man was let down," somebody say let down. "When the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet." How many know that's a pretty incredible experience right there? How many know that when you have died and it's your funeral, and then none of you have experienced that yet, but it happens to all of us, you know it's pretty much the end of the line. You've pretty much, things have gotten as bad as they can get. And you might feel like there's no hope in tomorrow, there's no hope for the future because this guy has died. He's gone. But the Bible tells us an incredible story and shows an incredible picture of what happens at this moment. The body gets put in the tomb of Elisha. And when that body comes in contact with the bones of Elisha, there was still enough of the power of the Spirit of God on the man of God that when this dead guy, we could call him Fred, Bill, or Bob, whatever his name was, when that lifeless body touched the bones of Elisha, there was still enough of the power of Almighty God to raise a man from the dead. I love this story so much because you read about Jeremiah. He said this. He says, "The word of God is in my heart." He says, the great weeping prophet. He says, "The word of God is in my heart." And what does he say? He says, "It's like fire shut up in my bones." And you know, I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of Christian that lives with the fire of God in my bones. I don't want to just be a Christian that goes to church and has a Bible big enough to choke a kangaroo. And I don't want to be the kind of Christian that just has a religious experience. I want to be filled with the power of Almighty God. You know, I travel a whole lot. Yeah, you can clap. That's fine. I'd clap. I agree. That's very powerful. You know, I travel a whole lot. We pastor a church back in Adelaide, and I get to preach in about 40 to 45 cities a year and see the church, the good, the very good, the awesome, and sometimes the, you know, some place that really need a breakthrough from God. And what I've discovered is the fundamental difference in places that have momentum and have increase and have a sense of God doing something. It is not always a platform issue. It's also an issue in the pew of people in the church. It's also an issue in people's seats, that when the church is filled with the fire of God and digging their own wells and pressing into God on a Monday through a Saturday, when we come together, something begins to take place. Often we wait for Pastor Rick to preach us happy. You know, we should come to the house of God happy, man. We should come ready for something to happen. Because when there's that sense of expectancy, that sense that God is about to do something, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God begins to move in the house of God. You know, we can have a revival in 1 second by purely plugging into the power of God. Man, I'm getting happy this morning. I'm sorry. I know it's Father's Day and all you're thinking about is lunch and what's going to happen. You know, just give me 3 more minutes and we'll get through this message. But I'm telling you right now, when you come into the house of God on a Sunday morning, you know, you can come, you know, just get ready, something's going to happen. We're going to hear a message, or You can make a decision and say, you know, even today, I'm going to have an encounter with God. I'm going to see something happen. And you know, you can get so charged up with the presence and the power of God, you can leave with that sense of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that sense of the power of Almighty God. I love this. Jeremiah says, it's just like fire shut up in my bones. You know, bones are fairly important. You need bones. Bones are the framework of your life. You know, if we didn't have bones, we wouldn't exactly look like we do now. Someone would pretty much have to hold us on the end of a shovel. We would just be a fleshy blob being brought to church on a Sunday morning, which is not a pleasant sight. But the bones are you look at this language, we say the fire in our heart or fire in our bones. Bones are the structure. They are the framework of your life. They hold us together. We are built around a system of some 300 bones. We need bones. We need them bones. The hip bones connected to the... I don't really know what bone it's connected to, but some of you got a hip replacement, so we don't know what's connected to what. But here's the deal. What Jeremiah is saying, he was basically saying, I want to share the gospel, but no one's too interested in what I'm preaching. So for now, I'm just going to hold my peace. And he said the gospel was so alive on the inside of him. The truth of Jesus who's coming. The truth of God was so real on the inside. He said, it's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. I don't know about you, but there are times when I come to church, even today, as we're worshiping God, when Pastor Sean started singing, Bless the Lord, oh my soul, I thought Andre Crouch had just walked into church this morning. And I'm telling you, I lifted my hands to heaven, and I probably should have been even more engaged early, but I felt like something just shifted in my spirit, and you sense that presence of God in the house, your toes curl over, you feel the fire of God on the inside of you, and it doesn't make you strange. It doesn't make you weird. The fire of God isn't for those people who bring tambourines and wear their hair in buns and I don't know. The fire of God is for a mother, it's for a father, it's for a family, it's for everyday Christians. Come on, somebody, do you believe that this morning? It's for everyday believers like you and me to be effective in what we're doing for the kingdom of God. John the Baptist, he says in Matthew 3:11, he says, I baptize you in water, but there's one coming after me. He's mightier than I. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Somebody say fire. What John was basically saying is saying, I'm John, I'm a Baptist, but there's a Pentecostal coming. And he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power. Can I tell you this morning, you and I, we don't have to do this thing alone. We've been given the promise of the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, we don't have to do this thing alone. Jesus didn't even operate alone. The Bible says the anointing, the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus, who went about doing good, healing all those. I know I'm yelling, I should calm down and just slow down. But man, I get so excited about this. This is better than a poke in the eye with a chopstick. It's good news that you and I, we don't have to walk alone. We can have the helper beside us, the Holy Spirit of God who brings fire to our world. And your Christian life can be alive. There's nothing worse than a stuffy old Christian. There's nothing worse than a Christian who's lost their joy and their... miserable. They come to church and as the pastor's preaching, they hold up a number as to how good the message is. Here, usually you're about 8.5 and above. In my church, you can get in the minuses sometimes. -3 is a good day. But you know, you don't have to walk this life serving God alone. You can be fired up with the power of God. You can be fired up with the Spirit of God. You can have the power of God working in your life. And you might sit here today and say, yeah, that's good for you. That's good for somebody else. You don't know what I've been through, what I'm dealing with, what I'm going through. Well, let's have a look at this story for just 1 minute, because this guy that died, he was not having a good day. As far as days go, not his best. Probably maybe less than a 6 out of 10. He was having an average day. The Bible tells us that he was at his funeral. Speaks of the end of dreams, end of hopes, end of desires, end of anything that he was looking forward to, it's over. He's died. The Bible says that as they were burying him, the guys are burying Bob and saying, you know, they're going through their ritual and they're having a funeral. It's a sad time. And then over the hill, somebody says, the Midianites are coming. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so they go, well, we can't finish this funeral, so what are we going to do with Bob? So they put Bob in the tomb of Elisha. And that might seem convenient, but that's a massive, in Bible times, that's actually a massive insult to somebody. And so you look at this passage, I want to show you something because it's quite interesting. It says here in verse number 2, 21. So it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down, he touched the bones of Elisha. When the man was let down. I want to have a look at this for a minute. I want to talk about how to get the fire of God working in your life. And I want to show you four things that we see here in this story that I believe are incredibly powerful and important. The first thing is it says here that he was let down. Somebody say let down. I don't know about you, but has anyone in this room ever felt let down by life? Have you ever felt like circumstances have let you down? I've been let down. I remember when I was 13, I was the largest kid in my class. I weighed 5 kilograms, which I think 12 pounds more when I was in 7th and 8th grade than I do now. I was, let's just say I had the body of a god, and that god was Buddha. And I remember being in school and I decided it's time because basketball cards were the big thing in Australia at the time. So I decided I'm going to have a career in the NBA. I'm going to be the next Scottie Pippen and it's my day. I'm going to sign up. So I signed up. I was ready to slam dunk. I could jump about that far off the ground. And so I signed up for the basketball team. I went to training every day. Never missed training. I was faithful, useless. I scored a goal in one of the games. It was the wrong end, though. And so the other team got the points. So it was a victory for them, literally, but for me, it was more of a moral victory. And so I joined the school basketball team, and then the team did so well. No thanks to me whatsoever. We got to the grand final, and it was the last game of the season, and we're playing to win the grand final. And my coach, he never really gave me much of a go. That's probably because I'd run 3 yards and get very tired. But he said, so we get there, there's probably about 10 minutes remaining in the game, and I had no court time. I was not on, no one had given me a shot. It was just me, I was feeling pretty discouraged, and so I was thinking, just get me on there. And at the end of the game, we lost by 2 points, and I'd never got 1 minute on the court. And I can tell you, I was devastated, heartbroken. But it gets worse. Gets worse. You don't play this sport in Australia, but we have a sport the girls play. It's kind of like basketball, but different. It's called netball. And there's no backboard. It's just a ring and you can only take 2 steps and whatever, but it's, you know, similar realm of sporting prowess. And so we get to this moment where they're giving out the trophies and our team lost, so we were the runners up. Everybody else got a trophy. And then when it came to my trophy, they had run out of trophies. The only trophy they had left was a netball trophy with a girl on top of the trophy. let me say this right. It's Father's Day, so I want to be respectful. But it was obviously a female and not a male, just by the shape of the physique of the trophy. When I got given the trophy, my best friend is still my friend today. He's a pastor in the same city as me. He looks at my trophy and in front of everybody getting the award, he said to me that I had a similar physique to the trophy that I was given. I went home devastated. The only thing I could turn to was 2 or beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on sesame seed bun, and we give God praise for that. But I'm telling you right now, I remember being devastated. I've been let down. Can I tell you what else I've been let down? I've been let down in church life. Church will let you down sometimes. Christians, they are amazing at letting you down. I've been let down by people. And you know, sometimes you can feel let down and you can stay in that space This guy felt let down. At his own funeral, they didn't even finish the funeral. They just put him in some other bloke's tomb. Imagine, that is let down. But how many know when you get let down, sometimes at the lowest point, you are so close to your miracle from God that you don't even realize it. He was dead. That's a bad day. But how many know when you read the Word of God, dead is not always the end. Sometimes it's just the beginning. And sometimes you've got to feel like you've lost everything. You've got to feel like life's knocked you around. You feel like everything's gone wrong. And boom, you're this close to an encounter with God. Is anyone else happy about this morning? I'm getting happy. You're so close to God. He was let down. And as he was let down, his body came in contact with the resurrection power of God. You might be feeling like life's against you. You might feel like all hope is lost today, especially on a day like Father's Day. You might be sitting here today and there are all kinds of emotions going on in your world and you feel let down. You feel like maybe the person next to you is in victory while you're walking with the world on your shoulders. Can I tell you, you're in a great spot because you could be this close to a miracle from God. Let down and loving it. Let down. Thank God for being let down every now and then. So, you know, for me, I don't really trust people that haven't been let down a couple of times. I mean, if I'm facing a challenge, I want to go to someone that's been through it, you know, been through it and come out better on the other side. The Bible says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, it doesn't say to the valley. The valley is not a destination. Being let down is not a destination. You're not what happened to you. You're not your circumstances. You're who he says you are. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You've been let down. You're probably this close to an encounter with God. I love that. Let down. I want to live let down and loving it. Let down and knowing that I'm a candidate for an encounter with God. You don't have to be let down to have the fire of God work it in your life. But if you are let down, you're a candidate for God to do something incredible. And even today, you might have come to church feeling the weight of everything in your world. My prayer this morning is, as we pray at the end of this message, that God would touch you, that God would fill you, that God would let his power come upon you and see something great happen in your heart and in your life for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen this morning? Number two, it says that he was let down to the tomb, and when he touched the body or the bones of Elisha, when he touched, get let down. You know, another thing that gets the fire of God working in your life is when you touch God. When you come in contact with the power of heaven. When you come in contact with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the amazing thing about this story from another perspective is that Elisha obviously had died and he'd been dead for some time because his bones were all that was left in the tomb. The story is quite fascinating because Elisha said to Elijah, "Oh, that I can have a double portion of your anointing." That's all he wanted. He just wanted a double portion. He wanted a double dose of what Elijah walked in and carried in his world. And the powerful thing that happened is he basically had achieved double. It's like, well, he didn't achieve it. By the grace of God, he'd seen double the miracles, double the signs and wonders, double all of those things according to what was promised to him from God, minus one. Elijah had seen 14 miracles. Elisha had seen 27 in his time alive on the planet. 28 is double 14. Elijah had seen one resurrection from the dead, and I don't know who's who right now. Elijah. One person raised. Elisha, in his life, when he was alive, one person raised. And so after he had died, he was still one miracle short from the double portion. After he had died, he was still one resurrection short of a double portion. I mean, it got so close, you'd still be able to round it up and say, look, it's pretty close, it's awesome. But in this case, he was still one behind. And you know the beautiful thing about this story, not only was it a resurrection for the guy that touched those bones, but it was the fulfillment of the promises of God for Elisha. And you know what it tells me? It tells me that the anointing is far bigger than just my life. The power of God is much bigger than just my life. The power of God on Elisha outlived even him. The anointing, the dunamis, the supernatural power of God was even bigger than what he... See, sometimes we think about it in terms of just our season, our life. Can I tell you, I want the kind of anointing, I want the kind of presence of God that still has an impact even beyond where I am right now. You look at someone like Pastor Rick, and here in the church, there's services happening across St. Louis. Why? Because the anointing is even just bigger than one church. It's bigger than one room. The anointing should live beyond us and go beyond us. And when you come in contact with it, something supernatural happens. Can you say amen? He touched him. There's something about the touch of God. You know, babies need the touch of their parents to fully grow, fully develop. I have a son. His name's Jimmy. Little Jimmy. He's awesome. He's fantastic. My three favorite things that I had before he was born were money, sleep, and independence. How many know fathers, mothers? When your little Jimmy arrives, all three of those things become a thing of the past. Never to return until you're old, because for some reason all old people seem to have money. At least I think my grandma does. Whenever I visit, she gives me $2. She says, don't spend it all at once. I say, it's very generous of you, Nan. Thank you very much. The Bible says when he touched the bones of Elisha, there's something about the touch of God. There's something about being touched by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes it's so easy to come to church and just watch what's happening, be carried by the momentum of a meeting, and just even lift your hands and sing songs. You know, while the Holy Spirit spoke to me a few months ago. I was in church and worshiping the Lord. I had my hands lifted. I'm singing whatever song we were singing. And as we were singing the song, I remember the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, are you just singing the words or are you singing to me? I remember, you know, we might have been singing something like Cornerstone. I'm singing Christ alone, Cornerstone, worshiping God. I just felt the Spirit of God just shift something in me, and I started to sing. Rather than just sing the song as we do with our hands lifted and do all the things we do, I started to sing to him, Christ alone, Cornerstone. And I can tell you, my whole worship changed. I felt like I was touching him. I felt like in the most profound way. And I've touched God in worship, absolutely, so have you. But sometimes we've got to come back to going, God, when I come into your house, when I come through these doors, I want to touch you. I want to see you do something in my heart and in my life, and experience the touch of the power of Almighty God. You know, on December the 4th, just at the end of last year, so that would be since I've seen a lot of you last. We have a girl in our church. Her name is India King, and she's 14 years of age. She's a sweet little thing, and she was crossing the street on what was a unseasonably wet day in December. December's dry. It doesn't rain in December. It's our summer. And she stepped off the road, and as she stepped off the road, she slipped. And as she slipped, her boyfriend grabbed her, I think, either by the, I can't remember if it was by a top or by a school bag, but as he grabbed her, which was still the smartest thing he could have done, her feet went out from under her, she fell on the road, and a car came and ran her over front wheel and back wheel and broke her pelvis in four places. And she began to roll 90 feet across that part of Adelaide. By a miracle of God, by a total divine miracle from God that wasn't even meant to be. There just happened to be about five nurses and a doctor standing right where she rolled. And she gets taken to the Women's and Children's Hospital in Adelaide. And basically, we were told, I got the phone call from her grandmother, that she's been run over. It looks bad. It's pretty likely that she won't live. Would I pray? And we absolutely pray. We got our whole church praying. We sent a text message to the whole church and said, we got to pray, we got to believe God. People were praying all over the world. And I went into the hospital the first time I went and visited, and I went and prayed for her, and she was in the most critical of condition. I've been to intensive care many times, praying for different people. This is the worst thing I'd ever seen. And I walked in there and I began to pray and I said, God, would you touch her? And there were a lot of people around. I didn't really have a lot of access at that point. And then I get a phone call from her grandma again, who goes to our church, and she says, this young lady's now critical. They've said now she's deteriorated badly and it's just looking like it's not going to happen. So we sent a text message to the whole church and said, at 7 p.m., we want everybody to pray. And I went in there at 7 p.m. There was another person from our church there, and I remember being in the room, and there was no real place to lay my hands on her because her skull, they'd actually had to take a tiny bit of her skull out to allow for the swelling of her brain. And this was a terrible thing. And they said she'd never, even her grandma, they said, even if she lives, she just will not be the same. She's in trouble. And so we're in there, and I didn't really want to cause a scene, but I wanted to pray. And the only place I could put my hand was on her knee and on her foot. And so I put my hand on her knee and I put my hand on her foot and I began to pray. I said, God, in the name of Jesus, would you touch her? And there was doctors right there at the foot of her bed, a nurse at the foot of her bed, not leaving her side. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you touch her? Would you minister to her? Would you help her? As I'm praying, I'm trying to keep some decorum, you know, so the guys at the hospital aren't getting all worried or thinking that I'm going too crazy. But as I prayed, the problem was this thing called the fire of God. You begin to feel it even in those midnight moments. And so I'm praying, Anna, I call Anna Spanner. I'm praying and I said, in the name of Jesus. And then something just hit me. And I can tell you what that something was. It was the Holy Ghost of heaven. And so as I'm praying, I said to her, I don't know why I did it, but I pointed, I said, you will live and you will not die. And I said, I refuse in Jesus' name to do your funeral. You will live and not die. And the nurse is starting to look up. And you know something? I forgot about the nurse. I forgot about the doctor. And I said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the one who walked on water, in the name of the one who calmed the storm, in the name of the one that pulled Lazarus out of the grave, I said, you will live and not die. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And I couldn't help it, Pastor Rick. I got excited. We had a revival. And I started, Rusha Kandala Busheke. And you know, the nurse looked at me like, what on earth is going on? I felt like looking at her and saying, one more word out of you and I'm going to lay hands on you too, sweetheart. I'm telling you right now, the fire of God, we could feel the presence of God. 1 month from that day, I went to the hospital nearly every day for a week or so of that, but 1 month from that day, she was walking unaided throughout the hospital. They said she wouldn't be the same. They said she wouldn't hear, she wouldn't walk, she wouldn't talk. Can I tell you, on January the 26th, it was Sunday night church, it's our Australia Day, I'm on the platform just emceeing the service and transitioning the service. And then I look to my right and there she is sitting on the front row. And can I tell you something? If you don't believe in miracles, I saw a miracle walk into our church that night. Let me take this even one step further. Last Sunday, they showed a highlights video from our youth camp in one of our services. It might have been the week before. And I'm watching the screen. I didn't think too much of it. But then I see one of the highlights of the youth camp was this girl, India King, running like that between a whole bunch of tires, like nothing had happened, healed by the power of God. I'm telling you, you might feel let down. You might feel like there's no hope. When you come in contact with the bones that are on fire with God, can you say amen, somebody, at 9 o'clock? I mean, can you give God a shout of praise in the house? I mean, and can I tell you, he does not change. What Jesus did on the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, what he did on the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago, he's still touching people. And the Bible says he touched him, and then the Bible says he revived. Some of you need a Holy Ghost revival in your world. Some of you need to come back to being in a place where you're stirred up in the things of the Spirit. Some of you haven't prayed in tongues for a long time. You start praying in tongues and you say banana three times and you think, man, we've had a move of God. Some of you like that old lawnmower. You need to pull the string. Cool, just pull it one more time. Rum, hallelujah. You know, just get the thing going. I need a revival. Sometimes you get dry. You need to hook up with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I know some of you go, it's only 9 o'clock. What are you trying to do to me? I want to stir you up in the Spirit of God. So when you leave, this Father's Day, you leave filled with the Spirit of God, touched with the Holy Ghost. You know, Pastor Rick, I'm a Pentecostal. Some people don't even know what a Pentecostal is. It doesn't mean you need to have your hair in a bun. And it doesn't mean you have to wear a dress only, sir. The word Pentecostal, people are so scared of the word Pentecostal. You're a Pentecostal. The word Pentecostal means 50. 50 is not that scary. But just because it says Pentecostal on the label of a church door doesn't mean the person in it's Pentecostal. We think Pentecostalism is a theology. No, it's not. It's a God encounter. It's being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's exercising the gifts on the inside of you, being alive with the supernatural. I don't know about you, being a Pentecostal, walking around with fire in your bones. Maybe some of you, the fire's gone out. Maybe you had an encounter with God once upon a time and it impacted you and you've been living out of that encounter. Can I tell you, God always has a fresh anointing. He always has a fresh touch. He says, he was let down. He touched the body, he revived, and then the Bible said he stood. Somebody say stood. You know, I believe with all of my heart that there's something significant about just still standing after your storm. You know, today, you might have sat next to somebody that's worshiping God, drawing pictures of the visions they're seeing, and, you know, just have being lost in. Some of you are laughing because you probably were sitting next to that person this morning and they've just conveniently gone to the bathroom. But excuse me, I really need to stop smoking. But Pastor Ryan and I are trying to quit together. But that's a joke. He's not quitting at all. He's keeping on with it. But do you know, you might have been standing here in worship today. Just by standing, I'm not encouraging people not to worship. We should worship. But just because you got here, some of you, it was a miracle you even got here this morning. With your circumstances, what you've come through, what you've been dealing with, you're still standing in the house of God. Can I tell you? Paul says, stand. Having done all, he said, stand. There's something about standing. This guy died, he was revived, and he stood. Can I encourage you, get revived and get back up on the inside. Some of you need to stand again. Some of you have given up. Some of you have bowed down. Some of you have thrown in the towel and you've said, I'm done. Can I encourage you, square your shoulders and stand. Because when you stand, the enemy, I'm telling you right now, the enemy wants to cut you down. He wants to get you to bow. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times. But what does it say? The Bible says he gets back up. Can I encourage you, stand. You need to stand on the promises of God. You've got to stand for what you believe in God's saying. Stand on the word of God. Stand on the hope that you have in him. Stand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His shack, my shack, and a bungalow. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad dingo. That's the Australian Bible says that. They nearly died. They should have died because they stayed standing. And you know, you and I, we need to stay standing, even though the enemy might come against you. We need to stay standing. They stayed standing. They got put in the fire. The Bible says we saw the fourth man get in there with them, walk around with them. They got loose. They got free. Why? Because they made a decision to say, I'm still standing by the grace of God. And you might be here today and you might have felt like giving up. You might feel let down. You might feel like life's against you. You might feel like stuff's too difficult. Yeah, how are you going to make it? How are you going to keep going forward? Here's the word of the Lord. Having done all.
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.